I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, in the Trump administration, mass deportations is a priority. It's driving ICE raids in the streets and workplaces, splitting families and terrorizing communities. In the new Frontline documentary, Status Venezuelan, we see how one family from Venezuela is trying to stay in the U.S. while dealing with the shifting anti-immigration policies. This is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
As you take time to support organizations that make a difference in your life and in our community, consider making a one-time gift to Texas Public Radio or becoming a sustaining supporter. No matter how you give, you help ensure that trustworthy news remains accessible to all. Listener support makes TPR possible. Together, we can keep this service strong. Give now at tpr.org, and thanks.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In the second half hour, we're going to break down the Texas political landscape now that the deadline has passed for jumping in the party primaries. But first, tonight on PBS stations, the documentary series Frontline tells the story of one Venezuelan family in Florida trying to stay together and stay in the U.S. legally as they navigate the shifting legal immigration landscape under the Trump administration's policy of mass deportation. The program is called Status Venezuelan and is directed by Mauricio Rodriguez Pons and Almudena Toral, the executive producer. Thank you all so much, Mauricio and Almudena, for coming on the air today.
Thank you very much, David, for having us.
Pleasure to be here, David.
Yeah, so Mauricio, your film follows one Venezuelan family in Florida. What makes this particular family story the right vehicle for telling this much larger national story about immigration and status and people who are trying to avoid mass deportation?
Yeah, well, this family is very representative of many, many Venezuelans that have arrived in the last 2 years to the country, looking for better opportunities, trying to make their lives here and escaping from a ruined country, my own country. I'm also Venezuelan. So their story is even representative of my family. And the film following them throughout this whole year, trying to find ways to stay here in the country together and legal. And as you know, immigration is a very hard topic. It's very complex. And the options they have are not broad, right? So the anxiety that this family lived throughout the film, throughout this year, is again the same anxiety that the whole Venezuelan community, the majority of the Venezuelan community that have settled in the United States in the last 2 years is feeling right now.
Our phone lines are open. If you have a question or comment about the mass deportations, the targeting of Venezuelans, what's happening with the immigration, with ICE, you can call in. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Almudena Toral, as executive producer, looking at this particular family, they are trying to, you know, they're working, they're trying to avoid problems and conflicts with law enforcement. They want to stay in the United States. So could they still have been deported even though they were under TPS? We've seen so much complications about people who were still had legal status, but yet they were caught up in mass deportations.
Yes, thank you for the question, Dave. To piggyback on what Mauricio was started saying earlier, we chose this family for A few reasons. One additional one that is very interesting is that different members of the family had different immigration statuses. So there was TPS, humanitarian parole, and asylum claims within the same family. They all came legally, they are here legally, and suddenly they're scrambling to stay here, right? Like you say, the TPS a situation has been an up and down for the Venezuelan community and others all year. Now it's on, now it's off. There's even like memes in the Latino and Venezuelan community about this because of how much confusion there has been. And yes, the reality is that certain immigration statuses traditionally protected people from deportation. And the reality is that some people, even in the middle of some immigration cases, have been deported this year with Trump's immigration crackdown. We've seen that also in the reporting that we have done with 230 Venezuelans that were sent to the SECOT, to the Salvadoran Maximum Security Prison earlier in the year. Republica and Alianza Rebelde Investiga, Catadores de Fake News, and Texas Tribune did a massive investigation, getting all of the records for all of these men. And many of them were in the middle of their immigration cases. They should have had some protection, and they were still taken out of the country. So,
and many were falsely labeled as gang members.
Yes, many of them, the administration said they were all criminals and monsters, violent criminals. And the reality of all of those records showed that that was not the case. Many of them didn't have criminal records.
Mariso,
that is the case of, oh, I'm so sorry.
No, go ahead. I want you to continue.
No, I was going to say that the reason why we also chose this family to follow in Status Venezuela, and that Mauricio followed the whole year, was also this intrigue, right? They had different immigration statuses. None of them had any criminal records. And we sort of wanted to see what was going to happen, be intimate and close up with them, because you see and you hear a lot about the deportations in the news. You see all those videos of people getting tackled and arrested and deported, but you rarely see in a very intimate and up close way, like Mauricio has achieved, to capture what happens before we even get to that point, right? How do families scramble to really try to do the right thing, you know? And that's what's really unique about this film.
And Mauricio, it's a very intimate experience the way you've captured the family dealing with these, and they're monitoring reports that ICE is on one street corner or another of the person that the woman that you profile.
Yuseka.
Mm-hmm. Yuseka. She, doesn't go to work one day because she hears about ICE in a particular place. They escape going to Walmart one day because they hear they're raiding Walmart. It's a family with dealing with a lot of stress, just trying to stay legal in the United States. I mean, that must have been very difficult for them.
And it's not for them. I mean, I live here in Doral. Doral is the city in the United States where the biggest diaspora of Venezuelans lives here. And they live here also. And it's a reality, it's a daily reality for the majority of the families here. It's really stress. And most of them, even though they have legal status and still have legal status, they feel stressed that something can happen. And if you follow the news and you see that immigration officers are calling some people that have status and the due process is not like, I mean, it's broken in several ways. That's why they feel that way. I was with them while they went to their lawyers, while Edward, which is Ginés del Porner, went to the immigration appointments and everything.
Right,
and,
knowing what would happen, if they would be deported right then, right there. Even American citizens being caught up in this at times. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, I want to ask you more about Doral, because of its large Venezuelan population that supported Donald Trump in the election. And on phone number is 833-877-8255. If you got a question or a comment, call in. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In the next half hour, we're going to be hearing about the Texas political landscape now that we have firmed up who's running for what in our primaries. But right now we're talking about a Frontline documentary that airs tonight on PBS, Status Venezuelan. It is an intimate portrait of a family from Venezuela living in Florida. And they have legal status, but yet these days legal status is very tenuous. We never know what that status means in the courts from one day to the next under Donald Trump's mass deportation policies. If you've got a question or a comment, give us a call, 833-877-8255. Almudena Doral, tell me about this town, Doral. It's also nicknamed Doralzela. Because of its large Venezuelan population. How does this documentary depict everyday life there, you know, as a area where there's such a large group of Venezuelans living there, all of them sort of navigating this situation?
Yes, thank you, Dave. And that's right. It's nicknamed Doralzuela because so many Venezuelans live there. It's definitely the best place if you live here in Miami, like Mauricio and I, to get arepas. And Mauricio, the director, lives in Doral himself. I live in Miami, but in another area. Like Mauricio was saying earlier, Doral is the city in the U.S. with the biggest share of Venezuelans, right? More than a million arrived over the last few years, and about 700,000 were given by the Biden administration legal status or an opportunity to settle here legally because of the complete and utter economic ruin and chaos that is happening in Venezuela. So you have these very, very interesting city and place where a lot of Venezuelans have settled. You can see that in the storefronts, in the restaurants, in the accents. If you're a Spanish speaker and you walk around Doral versus other parts of Miami, you can certainly pick up the Venezuelan accent because there's so many Venezuelans there. And Mauricio can, of course, talk a little bit more about Doral since he lives there and he's part of that community directly as a Venezuelan American. But what's also very interesting about Doral, without getting too much into the politics of it, is that a lot of Venezuelans, of course, there's been different waves of migration from Venezuela to the U.S., and many Venezuelans that have settled in Doral in different waves of migration. The ones that came earlier and have already become U.S. citizens and can vote, obviously voted in very large numbers for Donald Trump in the last election. Not only Venezuelans, Cubans, I mean, the whole Miami-Dade, for example, went very heavily towards Donald Trump, and Venezuelans supported him heavily. And that is for a strange combination of factors, obviously, like Cubans, they were running from a government and turned politically the other way once they were here. But also they had a lot of strong hopes because of some certain things that Trump had done in the past, that Trump was sort of like their savior, right? To get their country back, to have a strong stance against Maduro. And that's why many people, even though they might have had family members on temporary status or even like undocumented status, they voted for Trump because of those strong ideas. And then once Trump went into power and he started these immigration crackdown, it was very clear to a lot of people in the Venezuelan community that that Venezuelans were not going to be spared, you know, that it was just going against everyone, themselves included, and targeting TPS and some of the temporary statuses that a lot of Venezuelans had. Obviously, there's been a lot of strong feelings in the community and in Doral, and some have obviously had change of heart.
Mauricio Rodriguez-Pons, a director of the program Status Venezuelan on Frontline PBS tonight. To pick up on a couple of points we just heard from your executive producer, do Venezuelans feel especially targeted? I mean, of course, you can make an argument that Haitians could also say the same thing, but they are especially targeted by this administration. Basically, if someone is picked up as Venezuelan, they automatically assume that they're gang members frequently. Is that true?
Well, it's hard to know. I mean, what we do know is that Venezuelans has been in the center of the national debate since 2024. We were the main subject in the political campaign for the presidential election. And since then, we were always in the headlines, right? And some bad actors that we have in our community that can be named as part of the Tren de Aragua, which is a hard topic and is really complex. But yeah, there are some bad actors there. Somehow make us a fame of bad people. And so, yeah, I mean, the national debate about Venezuela has been really about the stigma of that we are, all of us are, were part of the worst of the world. Worst, and the reality is that, for example, the people, the men sent to El Salvador, to the maximum security prison, only less than 5% of those have really criminal records in the past. The majority were really good people, working people, trying to make a life here. And it's the same case with Gineska and her family. So yeah, no, not all of us are part of any criminal gang, but all fear that can be named to be part of that.
So in 2024, about 62% of Doral voters backed Donald mm-hmm. Trump. Mm-hmm. So, and they did that for a lot of reasons. Mm-hmm. But and it seemed like that they were, even though mass deportation was a big part of Trump's campaign, and he made that during the Republican National Convention a big part of his center point of his campaign. And he was talking about immigrants eating cats and dogs in parts of the country. And so he was not bound by the truth in talking about immigration. But still, Venezuelan immigrants and the people who had been living in Doral, they still supported him. Mm-hmm. And but now in your film, you talk about, that you illustrate how some Venezuelan voters in Doral say that they feel betrayed or had been used. Is that a widespread feeling or is that just limited?
I have been having conversations not only with Gineska and her family, but also with advocates, neighbors, friends, and everything. I can say that supporting for Trump in my community is still big.
Even after all of this,
and I can say also that the majority of the people in this community has been somehow affected by this crackdown on immigration, because maybe you know a friend that was caught in this raid, or another friend that is packing her things, their belongings, because the TPS was canceled. So, but still, Trump is it's a complex figure for us as Venezuelans, because he is still trying to fight Maduro. And that is, at the end of the day, what the majority of the Venezuelan community wants, right? Gineska have a line in the documentary that says, if Venezuela has been were the same when how I was when I was a child. I never went out of Venezuela. So Venezuelans want their country back, and Trump is kind of like doing something for that, and that is.
And would they support? Majority. Would they support a U.S. invasion of Venezuela, even if it cost, you know, hundreds of thousands of lives in Venezuela?
Well, I don't think my reporting is enough to answer that question. But
just based on what you know from, you know, you live there.
Yeah, I mean, I live here. I think the conversation is not is never touched that part. Is I mean, people is hoping to see a different Venezuela, to see the Venezuela who used to be a good country, and whoever is willing to help with that, people will follow in a way. But also, people is suffering right now, because Venezuela is not yet a different country. It's still a country in ruin, a country in which Maduro, an authoritarian president, is taking the decision. So it's hard because we don't have TPS anymore, but we also don't have where to go. And I've been seeing a lot of friends packing their things these days, these last few weeks, and it's really hard because the majority is not going back to Venezuela. It's going to another place and with a lot of uncertainty. So it's this double thing, right? I mean, you're saying that Venezuela, I mean, you're fighting to have a different Venezuela. It's not yet there, but you don't give protection to the people that you should that you say that you are protecting. So it's a very contradictory position. But the support for Trump here is still there. It's shaken for sure, but it's still there.
Your documentary shows us how this family is trying to navigate this Kafkaesque legal framework to maintain legal status in the United States. But since then, we've had this shooting in Washington, D.C. by an Afghan national who targeted National Guardsmen. And then we've had this total shutdown of immigration countries of concern, including Venezuela, a pause on immigration from countries like Venezuela. So it's gotten even worse since your documentary. So I worry for the families that you portray.
I worry too, and that is what I kept all nights awake these last few weeks. And people here is fearing what can happen. Not only the ones that don't have a strong status, even the ones with residency, with green cards, are fearing that something can happen to them. And that is really strange. It's like you follow everything right. You follow all the rules. You apply for, I mean, in the right time, doing everything great. And at the end of the day, you are fearing that you can be deported for no reason or for a small reason. So it's really sad.
Yeah, this family, they would be great Americans. They want to be great Americans. Mm-hmm. And so... So Almudena Toral, your documentary probably helps a lot of people who have read the stories but have never really experienced what it's like to be on the other end of this immigration issue. Is that what your intention was?
Yes, by embedding the audience, again, intimately and up close with them through these time that it has been very polemic in a way, independently on where you stand politically, it can be polemic. Immigration has become a very polemic issue, and we hoped that by heavily casting this one family that shows you know, like part of the immigration debate is about people being criminals and breaking the laws and being here without papers. But there's the reality of some people came the right way, which is
well, what does that mean? We hear that all the time. My parents came the right way. You know, that is such a, you know, a cop out. You know, these people came the right way. They're here legally.
Right. And they never wanted or want ever to do anything illegally. They're scared to death to become undocumented, to do something wrong. They only want to stay the right way. They are really trying their hardest. And you see them in this documentary, trying their hardest, spending countless hours on Zooms with lawyers, on social media, trying to like pay money. They don't even have work hours after hours to pay for lawyers to be able to represent them, to do things the right way. That was always their intention. And it's really, really, we hope that the audience will we'll have an opportunity by seeing
have some empathy
this
here.
Process up close.
Frontline PBS tonight, Status Venezuelan, Mauricio Rodriguez-Pons, Almudena Toral. Thank you so much for bringing this to us. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
That's The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thank you for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.